Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. This is edition number 19 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I am the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me again for another look at the Westminster Shorter Catechism as we consider it. And look at it from the lens of God's Word. And so let's pray together, and then we'll take up question number 9 this morning. Father, now as we continue into this study of these very important and vital truths, we would pray that you might help us, that we might learn, we might meditate upon, we might apply these things into our lives. We thank you for how you have used men in history to instruct your church and how your Spirit has superintended all of it, that we might be better for it, built up in the faith once delivered to the saints. So be merciful to us now, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, yesterday we considered question number 8 of the Shorter Catechism, which basically states how God carries out the plan that he established in the very beginning, in the period when there was no time, when there was nothing. That was question 7. Now, question 8 was the carrying out of the plan. Question 9 goes a little bit further now, and it breaks down question 8, which answers, how does God execute his decrees? He does so in the works of creation and providence. Now, for the next two questions, we're going to consider the acts of creation and the creation of man, particularly, as well as God's works of providence. But today we're in question number 9. Which simply asks, what is the work of creation? And the answer is, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Now we note, of course, from Genesis 1:1, the Bible opens, the canon of Scripture opens, not with a defense of God's existence, but simply making a statement that God does exist. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, Genesis 1 is a review. It's a penned explanation of God's initial work of creation in the space of 6 days. And so we note there through Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we get what God created on day 1 and day 2 and so forth throughout creation week. It's a good thing, I think, for Christians to memorize what God created on each day, and how we take note of the fact that God created man on day 6, and day 7, of course, was the day of rest. It was the day of worship, and how each day previous to day 7 always began with evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. And then we get to day 7 and we don't have any evening and morning because the day of rest is perpetual, because man was made on the 6th day to worship God on the 7th day. And now, of course, we do so on the 1st day of the week due to the virtue of Christ's resurrection. I don't want to get into all of that right now. Later on in the Shorter Catechism, we'll deal with the Lord's Day and the Sabbath. But what we are looking at is how this work is God's work, and it's a work that came from his own mouth. By the very word of his power, he spoke out of nothing, everything that we see and cannot see, into existence. We call this the fiat acts of God, the plain calling of something. The word that came from his mouth created everything that we see and don't see. And we know that this word was, in fact, the second person of the Trinity who did indeed create all these things. And so we note in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, he, that is Jesus, that is the Son of God, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And we also note that from John's Gospel in John chapter 1, in the very beginning of the Gospel, in John chapter 1, we have these words: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That pretty much sums it up. If it's been made, it was made through Him. And so when we consider the work of creation, we see the acts of the Trinity being employed here. Even in Genesis 1, we note that the Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. God is the one who has decreed to create, therefore He now must create, and He did so through the second person, the Son of God Himself. Now, it also states that He did so in six, in the space of 6 days. Now, this has drawn a number of controversies and has drawn a number of debates, and frankly, I don't understand any of it. I mean, I understand, of course, I understand the debates, I understand the issues, but what I don't understand is how people can so badly misunderstand the plain reading of the Bible. 6 days, God made heaven and earth. The Westminster Divines were convinced they, when they made this statement, they are referring to 6 days, six literal days. And that's how God created. And of course, we have our week. It's 7 days long, begins on, in our calendar anyway, begins on the Lord's Day, Sunday, and it runs through Saturday, 7 days. And that's how it all began, and that's the rhythm of our lives, and it has never been changed. It's been tried to be changed, and it's messed people up health-wise and other, but six literal days, six 24-hour periods of time. Just what we witness now was how God made it then. It has not changed, and it will not change. This is how God created His world. And there are people who think there are other views on this matter. I think it's tragic that we have individuals who try to press the creation week into some kind of system, some kind of other understanding of it. To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. A child can read Genesis 1 and understand its implications and understand its meaning. And when we think about what Moses told the people of Israel in Exodus 20, when he gives the law, and he's referring now to the Sabbath in Exodus 20 and beginning with verse 8, we read there, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now here it is. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. So far, so good. And now here it is. This is the supporting argumentation to this fourth commandment. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, when the people of Israel heard those words, they weren't thinking outside of their normal rhythm of their lives. They were thinking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, literal days, literal periods of time, 24 hours, just like it's been from the beginning and now always and has always been. And so these people that want to argue a different view, a framework view, if they want to argue the analogical view, frankly, the burden of proof is on them. I don't see it. And I know the arguments. I've read the arguments. I was taught these arguments. But I do hold to six literal days, 24-hour period of time, because that's just a plain reading of the Bible. And we need to take God at His word. And it's vital that we do that. And we don't try to figure things out that people have tried to figure out, like how could there be plants with no sun and all these questions. And God can do anything He wants. My God is in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases. And if that's the way He wanted to do it, then so be it. He sustains the world that He makes by the word of His power. And we noted that yesterday. We also note from Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 3, if there's any question as to the origin of the universe and everything that's been made by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That is simply to say that God made everything out of nothing. There was nothing. So theistic evolution is not scriptural. It's not consistent with the Bible. It is a false doctrine, a false teaching. God made all things out of nothing. We take that by faith, believing that the Word of God is indeed the Word of God, and the Spirit of God convinces us of such truth as we read it. And so we ought not play loose and fast with this very important doctrine. If we begin to do that, we will unravel other doctrines that are found within sacred scripture. And so he made them by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and he called it good. Not just good, but very good. And we note that at the very end of Genesis chapter 1. Of course, this is all prior to the fall of man and the ruination of all that God made that was good. And we read there, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. God's creation was very good. God can only do very good work, and he does. And so it's a comfort to us, even in these opening chapters of Genesis, to see the value, the importance of a sovereign God who does things well. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to leave me a note. That information is there before you on the screen. So until Wednesday, may the Lord bless you and help you as you serve him. God bless.